Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Tuesday morning. Boy, we're getting set. I noticed just down the hall, C95, our sister station, always, every year, put on the big radio marathon for breast cancer research. It's happening on Thursday. It's at the Midtown Center this year. Starts up at 6 in the morning, goes till 6 o'clock, so 12 hours. And they're bustling, getting ready for that. I just poked my head in and was talking with Rob and Shauna. So looking forward to that. In fact, I plan to pop down and maybe have a chat with them on the radio early in the morning before my show starts. We'll do that on Thursday morning. But a great way to donate if you're interested. That radio marathon for breast cancer research will be taking donations all day, telling stories. C95.com is the website where you can go to make a difference. Well, if you think back to when we had the big labor dispute happening in the province between teachers and the government, something that we are watching play out in Alberta, we were bringing on a whole host of different perspectives on it. We didn't just have the provincial government reps and the teachers union. We brought in people with experience, whether they were retired school teachers or people that worked in the schools in other professional capacities, to really try and find a way to help with these unwieldy problems that we see, classroom complexity, the challenges that we face in our schools. You might remember I had two guests on early, and they returned for a second appearance, who were both retired Saskatchewan speech-language pathologists, Cheryl Turner and Sherry Baucus. They were great guests, and we talked about the importance of speech-language pathology, the role it can play in schools in reducing some of those complex issues that rear their heads in classrooms and ultimately make it tough for teachers, make it tough for other students. So speech-language pathology can play a significant role. Recently, we found out that the University of Saskatchewan has launched a speech-language pathology program. This is a pretty exciting development. Some experts are saying that it might not be enough. There's a few other building blocks that have to be put in place. And Cheryl Turner, one I mentioned, one of the two guests that I've had on this program, is one person who has been working for decades in education, in healthcare. She's a former clinical coordinator. She's a clinical supervisor, was a clinical supervisor at Minot State University, former president of the Saskatchewan Association of Speech-Language Pathologists and Audiologists. And I'm so glad that we've been able to connect with Cheryl Turner this morning. Cheryl, thank you so much for taking the call.
Sure. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back on the program. I didn't scare you enough the first couple of times. You were willing to come back. That's good. So you have been a very strong advocate for the importance of speech-language pathologists and the role that they can play, not just in our schools, but in society. Just give me your overall thoughts when you heard the U of S is launching into this program.
Sure. Of course, I, like so many others, was really excited to hear about the upcoming program, and it's definitely something that's needed. Our families and the kids need these services, but we need to make sure that it actually addresses the shortage and can make a difference in the outcomes for children and adults with communication disorders in our province.
So I remember when you were on the show before with Sherry, we talked about the importance of the role that speech-language pathologists can play in our schools, although I recently saw you quoted saying that there's not a lot of those school jobs available. Is it that they aren't there? They aren't being prioritized in the schools? But why is that?
They're definitely not being prioritized. The last time I looked online, well, we have, according to the minister, when we talked with the minister a year or two ago, there were 120 SLPs serving 190,000 students. So that's wholly inadequate. But also we know that over the last 12 years or so, the number of SLP positions in the schools have been reduced. The number of positions of staff who help the SLPs, who are assistants to SLPs, have been reduced. And there are just none of those positions are available. They are all filled. So I guess my question is, if you were a student going into the SLP program at U of S, thinking to yourself, gee, I'd really like to work in the schools. I'd like to work with students. You're going to be sorely disappointed when you get out and there are no jobs. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to a different province? I don't think we want to spend our money training people to go elsewhere.
Remind us, Cheryl, you did such a good job of talking about this on the program before, what the benefits are in a school setting.
Sure. So SLPs, let me back up. Language actually forms the foundation for reading. And language is by far the biggest disability that we see in students in schools when it comes to the profession of speech-language pathology. It makes up about 60% of our caseload on average. So if we have students who don't have the adequate language, they won't have that foundation for reading. So that's critical. Some of the other issues that SLPs deal with are those social skills. So children who have autism, who have selective mutism, those students who are presenting in the classroom and really can make the classroom much more complex and diverse and difficult for teachers to deal with, SLPs are highly trained and ready to work with those students with those neurological differences.
Is the ratio, so you said, I think you said about 120 in the province, in the schools?
Right.
How many children would they be serving? Like, I'm not talking about the overall student population. What percentage of children need the expertise of a speech-language pathologist?
Well, what we know is that our SLPs in the schools are serving, on average, 175, or attempting to serve, 175 students each. Usually that's in four or five different schools. And we know because of the nature of the ruralness of our province, they're often driving, sometimes up to 3 hours a day of driving. And if I can just give you a little bit of context, the maximum number of students that an SLP in the school should be attempting to serve is 40. So our SLPs are trying to serve more than four times the number of students that they should be serving. And what that means is that our school divisions have directed our SLPs to do consultation only. They do an assessment, and then they give the recommendations to, for example, the classroom teacher. And we know our classroom teachers are busy teaching. They're doing what they were trained to do. They're dealing with all of the things that they have to do with curriculum delivery. They don't have time to do the job of the SLP as well.
It's there's so many different nuances to this. So one of them is, and again, we're chatting today with Cheryl Turner, who's a retired Saskatchewan speech-language pathologist. The U of S has launched a new speech-language pathology program. We're talking about what jobs will be available when these students, professionals, graduate from this training. So you've also pointed out, I know, that many of these SLP positions in health regions remain vacant. Some have remained vacant for years. Why is that?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of vacant SLP positions in health. And in health, our SLPs serve kids between 0 and 5, and then they serve adults. So there are sort of two different types of positions in health. I'm just going to talk about those SLPs that are serving 0 to 5. And I know of one SLP with a large geographic area to serve, was attempting to serve 1,000 children, 1,000. And again, for context, SLPs serving preschool populations should be serving no more than 25 children. So that's 40 times the number of children that you could be reasonably expected to serve. So there's no outcomes to that because, again, it ends up being consultative. The SLP does an assessment, hands a paper to a parent, here's how you do the therapy. And I don't know about you, but I don't know of too many professions where the service is consultative. I don't take my car to the mechanic to be told that it needs, the transmission needs to be rebuilt, and then the mechanic hands me a paper on how to do it. That's not going to work for me,
right.
And it's not going to work for most parents either.
So it's such an interesting story and topic because, as you and I have talked about, Cheryl, we need speech-language pathologists. The fact that the U of S has this program and will be generating an interest in it and building the capacity in our province of people trained in this profession stands to sound like a good thing, but if we don't have people filling the position or if the workload is too high, obviously that can be a downside. You also have talked about the lack of practical clinical training. What is this about? Why is this important?
Right. So it's really, really important for any clinician who's coming out to have that hands-on training. And the U of S has said that they're expecting that their new master's level SLPs will have 1,000 hours of hands-on clinical training, which is absolutely fantastic. That's wonderful. They don't say how they're going to get those hours of training, and it's my understanding that they will not have a clinic at the U of S. And if they don't have a clinic, and they don't have about 10 clinical supervisors with lots of experience to do that training with those students, does that mean that those master's level students are going to be coming out to the schools and out to health where we know our SLPs are already overstretched, and that those working SLPs are going to be expected to do the clinical training for these students? Because again, that's going to impact the minimal services that our working SLPs are already trying to provide.
Cheryl, are you good to stick around for a second? I feel like we're not done the conversation, but I need to take a break. You good for a couple more minutes?
For sure.
Okay, good stuff. We'll get you to hang on. Cheryl Turner, my guest, a retired speech-language pathologist. We'll take a break. We'll be right back to finish up here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the program. If you are just joining us, we're chatting about the important role that speech-language pathologists play in our province, in our communities. Cheryl Turner is joining me. She's retired from that profession, but spent a number of years doing this work and continues to be a great advocate for this work that goes on. Part of the challenge, and we know that there's now a new speech-language pathology program at the University of Saskatchewan, which is exciting. In fact, I see a text here that says her daughter's in grade 12 next year, wants to go into speech language pathology. So the fact that this is, you know, she doesn't have to go to Edmonton for it, can be done here in Saskatchewan, is a good thing. But I want to go back to, you had mentioned that there's a number of these jobs, speech language pathologist jobs in the province, that are vacant and have been for some years. Why is that? Is it that the workload is too high and people are reluctant to fill them?
Yeah, the workload isn't just high. It's impossible. It's sort of to the point of being absurd. You know, nobody goes into speech pathology to get rich. It's not one of these jobs where you're going to make $1 billion. You go into it because you want to help people. And if you can't have any job satisfaction at all, you're not going to stay in that position, and that's why those positions are unfilled.
So what needs to happen, Cheryl? That's the big question. We've talked about the fact that there's only 120 in the schools in the province, which is a very low number. Again, each one of those handling about 175 students, which is a workload that is far exceeding what is recommended. What needs to happen?
Well, okay, I would say three things. Number one, we want to make sure that the program at the U of S is training clinicians. I noticed on their announcement they've staff, and the staff will be looking at starting research this fall. And yes, we do need researchers in the field, but that's not what we need in our province right now. Other locations are doing the research. We need clinicians, so we need a clinical program there with hands-on clinical practice and training. In education, we could simply limit the number of students that SLPs are seeing, and then they could see them for actual therapy. until we get to a point where we can hire more SLPs. And I'm not sure exactly how that would happen. I suspect it would have to be a provincial mandate for them to do that, because schools don't seem at all excited about hiring more SLPs. But in health, we have the biggest opportunity, because in health, we could do this, we could make a change with almost zero funding addition. So all we need to do is look at the current agencies that are currently serving preschool children. We have early years family resource centers. We have early childhood intervention programs. We have Kids First. We have daycares and preschools. We have early learning and intervention and early learning support grants that go to our school preschool programs for 3 and 4 year olds. So if we took those positions at health and we attached them to those other programs that are currently existing where they have paraprofessional staff, those SLPs could then be there where the kids are and train the staff that we already have hired in the province. Mm-hmm. So it could make a huge difference.
Well,
the
Cheryl,
kind of jobs that are available.
I'm going to have to jump in because we've reached the end of our time. I feel like we could go on lots. In fact, I'd like to have you back and talk a little bit about your book, which is Little Voices, Big Futures, a great kind of a guide for parents to help their youngsters from baby to those first, 18 months building their language skills. But we're going to have to save that for another day.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks so much for your time, Cheryl. Appreciate you joining the program.
Thank you very much.
Cheryl Turner, retired Saskatchewan speech-language pathologist, and appreciate her view on this new program at the U of S. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.